Chapter 98. The Lay of Felurian. A long moment passed before I regained enough of my composure to look up. There was a hesitancy in the air, as if we were young lovers who didn't know what was expected of us next, who didn't know what parts we were supposed to play. I picked up my lute and brought it close to my chest. The motion was instinctive, like clutching a wounded hand. I struck a chord out of habit, then made it minor so the lute seemed to be saying sad. Without thinking or looking up, I began to play one of the songs I had written in the months after my parents died. It was called Sitting by the Water Remembering. My fingers strummed sorrow into the evening air. It was several minutes before I realized what I was doing, and several more before I stopped. I wasn't done with the song. I don't know if it really has an ending. I felt better. Not good by any means, but better. Less empty. My music always helped. As long as I had my music, no burden was ever too heavy to bear. I looked up and saw tears on Felurian's face. It made me less ashamed of my own. I also felt myself wanting her. The emotion was damped by the ache in my chest, but that touch of desire focused my attention on my most immediate concern, survival, escape. Felurian seemed to reach a decision and started through the cushions toward me. Moving in a cautious crawl, she stopped several feet away and looked at me.
"Does my tender poet have a name?"
Her voice was so gentle, it startled me. I opened my mouth to speak, then stopped. I thought of the moon, caught by her own name, and a thousand fairy stories I had heard as a child. If you believed Elodin, names were the bones of the world. I hesitated for about half a second before I decided I had given Felurian a damn sight more than my name already. I am Quoth. The sound of it seemed to ground me, to put me inside myself again.
Quoth.
She spoke it softly, and it reminded me of a bird calling.
"Would you sing sweet for me again?"
She reached out slowly, as if afraid of being burned, and laid her hand lightly on my arm.
"Please. Your songs are like a caress, my Quoth."
She pronounced my name like the beginning of a song. It was lovely. However, I wasn't entirely comfortable with the way she referred to me as her Quoth. I smiled and nodded, mostly because I didn't have a better idea. I struck a couple of tuning chords, then paused, thinking. Then I started to play In the Forest Fae, a song about, of all things, Felurian herself. It wasn't particularly good. It used about 3 chords and 24 words, but it had the effect I was looking for. Felurian brightened at the mention of her name. There was no false modesty in her. She knew she was most beautiful, most skilled. She knew men told stories, and she knew her reputation. No man could resist her. No man could endure her. By the end of the song, pride had her sitting straighter. I finished the song. "Would you like to hear another?" I asked. She nodded and grinned eagerly. She sat among the cushions, back straight, as regal as a queen. I moved into a second song, similar to the first. It was called Lady Fae, or something of the sort. I didn't know who had written it, but they had an appalling habit of sticking extra syllables into their lines. It wasn't bad enough to get anything thrown at me in a tavern, but it was close. I watched Felurian closely as I played. She was flattered, but I could read a slight dissatisfaction growing, as if she was irritated, but she couldn't decide why. Perfect. Last, I played a song written for Queen Seiru. I guarantee you haven't heard it, but I'm sure you know the type. Written by some toadying minstrel looking for a patronage, my father had taught it to me as an example of certain things to avoid when writing a song. It was a numbing example of mediocrity. You could tell the writer was either truly inept, had never met Seiru, or that he simply didn't find her attractive at all. While singing it, I simply exchanged the name Felurian for Seiru. I also replaced some of the better phrases with less poetic ones. By the time I was through with it, the song was truly wretched, and Felurian wore an expression of naked dismay upon her face. I sat for a long moment, as if deeply considering something. When I finally did speak, my voice was hushed and hesitant.
"Lady, might I write a song for you?"
I gave her a sheepish smile. Her smile was like the moon through the clouds. She clapped her hands and threw herself onto me with a kittenish delight, peppering me with kisses. Only fear that my lute might be broken kept me from properly enjoying the experience. Felurian pulled away and sat very still. I tried a couple of chord combinations, then stilled my hands and looked up at her. "I will call it The Lay of Felurian." She blushed a bit and looked at me through lowered eyes, her expression bashful and brazen. All immodest boasting aside, I write a fine song when I set my hand to it, and my skills had recently been sharpened in the mayor's employ. I am not the best, but I am one of the best. Given enough time, a worthy subject, and the proper motivation, I dare say I could write a song nearly as well as Ilion. Nearly. Closing my eyes, I coaxed sweet strains from my lute. My fingers flew, and I captured the music of wind in the branches, of rustling leaves. Then I looked to the back of my mind where the mad, chattering part of me had been composing a song to Felurian all this while. I brushed the strings more lightly and began to sing. Flashing moon silver, midnight blue her eyes. The lids were subtle-colored butterflies. Her hair swayed, a dark scythe swinging, through the trees with the wind singing. Felurian, O lady fair, blessed be your forest glade. Your breath is light upon the air, your hair is shadow-dappled shade. Felurian grew still as I sang. Toward the end of the chorus, I could hardly tell if she was breathing. A few of the butterflies that had been frightened away by our earlier conflict came dancing back to us. One of them landed on Felurian's hand, brushing its wings once, twice, as if curious why its mistress was so sudden still. I turned my eyes to my lute again and chose notes like raindrops licking the leaves of trees. She danced in dancing shadows candle cast. She held my eyes, my face, my form full fast. Her smile a snare 10 times as strong as legendary fairy song. O lady fair, Felurian, your kiss is honeysuckle sweet. I pity any other man, unknown to you and incomplete. I watched her from the corner of my eye. She sat as if listening with her entire body. Her eyes were wide. She'd raised one hand to her mouth, upsetting the butterfly resting there, while the other pressed against her chest as she drew a slow breath. This is what I had wanted, but I regretted it nonetheless. I bent over my lute and danced my fingers across the strings. I wove chords like water over river stones, like a soft breath against the ear. Then I steeled myself and sang. Her eyes were of the bluest black, like night sky with the clouds blown back. Her skills in love... I stuttered my fingers on the strings, pausing for just a moment as if unsure of something. I saw Felurian wake halfway from her reverie and continued. Her skills in love, they do suffice. In close embrace, men find her nice. Felurian, O mistress bright, your touch more sought than silver, What? Even though I was expecting the interruption, the ice in her voice startled me into a jangle of notes and sent several butterflies into flight. I took a breath, assumed my most innocent expression, and looked up. Her expression was a storm of rage and disbelief. Nice? I felt the blood drain from my face at her tone. Her voice was still round and gentle as a distant flute, but that meant nothing. Distant thunder doesn't drub the ears. You feel it prowling through your chest. The quiet of her voice moved through me in that distant thunder way.
Nice?
It was nice, I said to mollify her, my air of innocence only half affected. She opened her mouth as if she would speak, then closed her mouth. Her eyes flashed pure fury. I'm sorry, I said. I should have known better than to try. I pitched my voice somewhere between broken spirit and beaten child. I lowered my hands from the lute strings. Some of the fire left her, but when she found her voice, it was tight and dangerous.
My skills suffice?
She hardly seemed able to force out the last word. Her mouth formed a thin, outraged line. I exploded, my voice a roll of thunder. How the hell am I supposed to know? It's not like I've ever done this sort of thing before. She reeled back at the vehemence of my words, some of the anger draining out of her.
What is it you mean?
She trailed off, confused. This! I gestured awkwardly at myself, at her, at the cushions and the pavilion around us, as if that explained everything. The last of the anger left her as I saw realization begin to dawn.
You?
No! I looked down, my face growing hot. I have never been with a woman. Then I straightened and looked her in the eye as if challenging her to make an issue out of it. Valorian was still for a moment. Then her mouth turned up into a wry smile.
You tell me a fairy story, my quoth.
I felt my face go grim. I don't mind being called a liar. I am. I am a marvelous liar. But I hate being called a liar when I'm telling the perfect truth. Regardless of its motivation, my expression seemed to convince her.
But you were like a gentle summer storm.
She made a fluttering gesture with a hand.
You were a dancer fresh upon the field.
Her eyes glittered wickedly. I tucked that comment away for later ego-polishing purposes. My reply was slightly wounded. Please. I'm not a complete rube. I've read several books. Valorian giggled like a brook.
You learned from books?
She looked at me as if she couldn't decide whether or not to take me seriously. She laughed, stopped, then laughed again. I didn't know if I should be offended. You were rather good, too, I said hurriedly, knowing I sounded like the last dinner guest to compliment her on a salad. As a matter of fact, I've read
books.
Books! You compare me with books! Her anger crashed over me. Then, without even pausing for breath, Valorian laughed again, high and delighted. Her laugh was wild as a fox's cry, clear and sharp as morning birdsong. It was no human sound. I put on my innocent face. Isn't it always like this? I kept my expression calm, while inwardly I braced myself for another outburst. She simply sat.
I am Valorian.
It wasn't a simple stating of a name. It was a declaration. It was a proud flag flying. I held her eyes for a moment, then sighed and dropped my gaze to my lute. I'm sorry about the song. I didn't mean to offend you.
It was more lovely than the setting sun,
she protested, sounding close to tears.
But nice?
The words seemed bitter to her. I set my lute back into its case. I'm sorry. I can't fix it without some basis for comparison, I sighed. Pity. It was a good song. They would have sung it for 1,000 years. My voice was thick with regret. Valorian's expression brightened as if with an idea. Then her eyes narrowed into slits. She looked at me as if she was trying to read something written on the inside of my skull. She knew. She knew I was holding the unfinished song as ransom. The unspoken messages were clear. Unless I leave, I can never finish the song. Unless I leave, no one will ever hear these beautiful words I have made for you. Unless I leave and taste the fruits mortal women have to offer, I'll never know how skilled you truly are. There, amid the cushions, under the eternal twilight sky, Valorian and I stared at each other. She held a butterfly, and my hand rested on the smooth wood of my lute. Two armored knights eyeing each other across a bloody field could not have matched the intensity of our stare. Valorian spoke slowly, gauging my response.
"If you go, will you finish it?"
I tried to look surprised, but I wasn't fooling her. I nodded.
"Will you come back to me and sing it?"
My surprise became genuine. I hadn't considered her asking for that. I knew there would be no leaving the second time. I hesitated, but only for a barest moment. Half a loaf is better than none. I nodded.
"Promise?"
I nodded again.
"Promise with kisses?"
She closed her eyes and tilted her head back, like a flower basking in the sun. Life is too short to refuse offers like that. I moved toward her, drew her naked body toward my own, and kissed her as well as my limited practice would allow. It seemed to be good enough. As I pulled away, she looked up at me and sighed.
"Your kisses are like snowflakes on my lips."
She lay back on the cushions, head resting on her arm. Her free hand brushed my cheek. To say she was lovely is such an understatement, I cannot begin to repair it. I realized that over the last several minutes, she hadn't been trying to make me desire her, at least not in any supernatural sense. She brushed her lips lightly over the palm of my hand and released it. Then she lay still, watching me intently. I was flattered. To this day, I know of only one answer to a question so politely phrased. I bent to kiss her, and laughing, she took me in her arms.